Investing Simplified is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm with Bo Caldwell, CFP, and Chuck Price, founder and author of Investing Simplified, the book, and the number one bestseller, Your Retirement Made Simple. Chuck Price has been doing estate planning since 1970 and investing in retirement planning since 1975. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest running live financial show in America with a financial advisor and now a CFP, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and comes to you live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. You can contact Bo or Chuck by visiting PFGWM. Or you can email them with a question at ask@pfgwm.com. Or you can call them right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. And for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, the hosts of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price and Bo Caldwell.
Hello there, and welcome to Investing Simplified. However you're listening today, thank you for making us part of your day. Just as a reminder, you can listen on InvestingSimplifiedRadio.com, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever, iHeartMusic, wherever you get your podcasts. We do replay the show on podcasts. I have some super exciting news today. I am Bo Caldwell, CFP, and back in studio with me for the first time in a while, we've gotten the three of us together. The gang is back together. Chuck Price, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, and Kevin Stege of Baker Coulson are here today. All three of us are here present in the studio.
Is it really us or is it Memorex?
It's us.
Yeah.
Is it Memorex or Sword of the Green? I got to tell you, Chuck, I shared this with you, but Kevin, you'll enjoy this. I got many I wouldn't call it panicked question from clients and from listeners. Chuck had taken a couple of weeks off, and it was a worried phone call and a worried email about just making sure that everything was okay, and that he was, that he wasn't, hadn't left us. They were worried about you. They missed you, big guy.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do. And if you are happy that I'm back, pick up that phone and give us a call so we can answer some of your questions today. That'd be fun, wouldn't it?
It would be.
It would be good. Usually, otherwise, we're just going to hear wax poetic about.
I've got a tax court case to talk about, so unless you.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, I want to hear about that. Yeah. Let's get some calls.
There's excitement in the air. Yeah.
Well, I do want to hear about it, but that's the problem, is I enjoyed listening to it. So, that if the listeners don't want to listen to it, then you got to pick up the phone and give us a call. And so we do have, a lot to talk about today. Chuck, I was noticing something that's just been, on people's minds. I don't know if you saw, but Thursday and Friday, the markets, particularly the NASDAQ, which we, traditionally is a little bit more volatile than the other markets. I don't know if you saw, folks, but the NASDAQ went down 1% in a day and then up over 1% the very next day. So if you're out there trying to time the market and figure out when to get in, when to get out, that's a pretty rough proposition right now.
Bo, one of the things we've been saying on the air for last over 10 years, we've been telling people that when you invest money, you need to take your money and have it in different blocks. And one of the things you have to have is your serious money. And your serious money is money that you want to have a strategy, have that invested, fully invested, because long term, having it fully invested, you're going to come out better and you're not going to miss the ups and downs if you have a good strategy. And that's the key, is having a strategy. But your play money is money that if you want to take a risk in the market, but you better understand it's not for the faint at heart. Like you say, when you have the market moving by 2.5% in a day, just think if you had $100,000 in there, you went up and down and made $2,500 and lost $2,500. So, you got to have the stomach for doing that. And not everybody is a trader. If you want to be a trader, you better have ice in your veins. And you better be willing to take some tough knocks.
And you better be willing to lose, too. I, you know, a lot of people say, you know, I trade my own money and I do really well. And we've sat down with several folks that have done a really good job of investments. But most of the time, I don't want to speak from your experience specifically, but in my experience, when I sit down with folks and do have that conversation about, hey, you're doing a great job with your investments, your portfolio management is top notch, those are generally not the people who are trying to buy and sell stocks on a day-to-day basis. Those are the folks who have a strategy. It's, you know, it's a different strategy possibly than our strategy, but a strategy that they have that they stick with. And it's something that, you know, if you can hold on for the long term, and they're taking a long-term view as well, as opposed to looking and saying, well, the market's up year to date. Yeah, I mean, we're up over 20% year to date, which is just crazy talk. But if you look on a year-over-year basis, it's a much more manageable number, because people look at that short-term number, I think, far too often. And the big thing that I ask, and if you're meeting with an advisor or with a stockbroker or someone who fancies themselves really good at picking those companies, and they probably are, but the question that I always ask is, I don't want to hear about your winners. I don't want to hear about the ones that you hit out of the park. Tell me about your losers.
Well, you know, Bo, one of the things we always sit down, we tell people all the time, is you got to not watch the news shows on TV about the business market, because how many people are, the S&P is up 20.7%, almost 21% year to date as of Friday. How many people are actually in their portfolios up 21%? Not that many, folks. And unless you bought the right stocks in that S&P, you're not going to be there. So that's the reality of it. Or unless you bought that index, you would be there. But most people don't. And most people, when they look at their 401k, and they might be up, you know, 6 to 8% right now, and saying, oh my gosh, I missed it. I missed that 21% swing. And you know what? It all depends on how you're invested and what the diversification is in your portfolio, because remember, what goes up does come down. And if we have a market jerk back, which we could have at any time, and nobody can predict it, but if we did and you were fully invested in that aggressive way, guess what? Your risk factor is 40 to 50% downside. So when you look at your investment and you hear all these guys talking about the percentages and the numbers, don't think you've missed it. You still have time. If you have a strategy, if you sit down with somebody like Bo or myself, sit down and develop a strategy, you can still catch up. And it's not that you're going to catch up. It's just that how much of that is going to stay on the books. That's the real key thing. We always tell clients, look, it's not what you gross, it's what you net. It's what you end up with at the end of the day. And that really is the key. And when you look at these numbers, it's a little insane right now when we're looking at these numbers. The S&P is up 20.7. The Dow Jones is up 16.57. But I want to give you a little reality here on that, because, yeah, it's up this year at this seventh-month period. But let's take a look at the S&P. If you go back to 12/31/99, the S&P, it's only up 5.7% per year, including this 6 months.
Right.
So you have to look at those numbers and say, oh my gosh, yeah, 6 months, I'm up 20. But if I went back to the turn of the century and invested all my shekels in there, I'm only up 5.7 per year. And the Dow Jones, if you go back to 12/31/99, is up 7.35. It's up 50% better than the S&P, than the aggressive stocks, the more aggressive stocks. So, you know, you really need to take a look at that and talk about the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ is up 5.64 if you go back to 12/31/99. So, look, don't think because we had this six-month burst, you've missed everything, because you haven't, because they haven't kept that either.
Right. Well, the other thing is, what return do you need to reach your goals? What's your plan? What's your long-term vision? And if 5% a year is what you need to get, if you've sat down with your planner and found out that 5% a year is what you need to get, then are we getting 5%? I don't care about the 21, because if we only need to get 5 and we're hitting that 5, I'd much rather take less risk and get us to where we need to go than be taking a lot of risk to shoot the lights out.
You had mentioned this before, but it's so true. People get a short-term perspective on a long-term goal. If you're doing retirement, it better be a long-term goal, because you're not retiring for 6 months. You're not retiring for a year. You might be retiring for 30 to 40 years.
Absolutely.
So that money's got to last. Hey, I think we got a caller.
Yeah, it looks like we have Henry on the line who has an income tax question. Hello there, Henry.
Morning. Good morning.
Good morning. So you had an income tax question. What was your question?
The question is, in 2018, I want to know if this program still continues and is still valid for 2019, and that is to donate to charities directly from your IRA and save the income tax on that money.
Absolutely. Yep. It continues.
Great.
Yep. It's a good thing. I strongly recommend it because with the new standard deduction being so high, most people are not going to be utilizing charitable contribution deductions. Maybe on your Oregon return you might, but not on the federal level. And so this is a way to not to be able to take out your RMD and not have to recognize it in income. Very important strategy for people over age 70 and a half.
You know, Kevin, is speaking about... Oh, well, go ahead, Henry.
I was going to say I fit all that criteria, and last year it saved about... according to it saved maybe almost $2,000 in income tax.
Excellent. Very good.
That's pretty great. So $2,000 savings, and you're doing some good. I think that sounds like a win-win to me.
And you help some people. That's great.
It's just the labor of filling out the form.
That's right, the red tape.
The inverse is to ask the brokerage house to cut the checks for you, and then you've got to get them into envelopes and get them to the right place. And it's a job, but heck, it was $2,000 income and no FICA.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Well, you know, Henry, we've got to keep those CPAs in business. We got to keep those tax preparers
in business.
That's not
the CPAs. That's the investment advisors that have to do all the work. I just say do it.
We usually don't make any money on those kind of transactions.
No.
But, so, Henry, that's a great question. A lot of people have been asking us that. I know, Bo, I get it all the time. People are still asking me, hey, can we actually, you know, put our RMD over to a charity? It's great that they've kept that in the bill.
Yep. Yep. And I think they'll keep that. I don't know if it's actually a specific provision in the SECURE Act. Anyway, I think they're definitely looking to keep this and possibly make it permanent.
That would be cool. Yeah. That was a great question that Henry had. That's a great reminder, too, because not everybody knows that that's an option that's out there for your RMDs.
It really should be permanent. I mean, they should quit playing games and just make it permanent.
Yeah.
I think so. There's a lot of things that they, you know.
They don't listen to us, though.
But yeah, I'm trying, you know. You beat your head against the plaster long enough, maybe you'll bust through the wall, right? So we're going to take our first break here, and we're going to come back with the tax investigator after this break. And just to let you know, Kevin has a wonderful tax court situation to tell us about. So be excited. Stay tuned in. We'll be back after this break with the tax investigator. If you want to pick up the phone, give us a call. 503-417-9595 is the number if you don't want to listen to Kevin drone on. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com. and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
Here's your opportunity to ask Kevin Stege, CPA and shareholder of the Baker Colson CPA firm, that tax question that's been keeping you up at night. you can call Kevin, 503-417-9595, or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the CPA with the tax answers, Kevin Stege.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. If you've been listening, you can also tune in via investingsimplifiedradio.com. Tax Investigator, you are up, sir.
Excellent. Yes, so we are going to talk about a particular tax court case that I learned something new from this one. It's an interesting provision. So in general, when you are filing an amended return for and you want to claim a refund for a prior year because there was some change you want to make, in 3 years to go back, or a way to look at it is the year that you want to amend, look at the due date of that return. So say you want to amend 2015's tax return. It was due April 15th, 2016. We won't consider extensions and all that. You have 3 years from that date. 2016, 2017, 2018, that's April 15th of 2019. So we're past that date. Generally, you can't amend 2015 to claim a refund. But there is a provision that stops that three-year period. And it is if you meet the definition of being financially disabled. Financially disabled. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
What is the definition of financially disabled?
That is the key question. Yeah. It's a fairly onerous standard.
I need more money.
This is true. The individual is financially disabled if and when he or she is unable to manage his or her financial affairs by reason of a medically determinable physical or mental impairment, which can be expected to result in death or which will last for a continuous period of not less than a year. So, fairly onerous standard. They're not just going to take your word for it. because if we're talking mental disability, we probably all fall into that category.
Yes. On any given day.
Yes, that's right. So, if you are going to go back and amend for greater than 3 years and you're claiming a tolling of the statute of limitations, the three-year period, tolling means it's going to stop or pause, I should say, for that three-year period, you have to provide a written statement from your physician that, number one, names and describes the taxpayer's physical or mental impairment. It gives the physician's medical opinion that it prevented you from managing your financial affairs. It's got to give the physician's medical opinion that it will result in death or last more than a year. It has to state that the physician's, to the best of the physician's knowledge, the specific period during which the taxpayer was prevented. He has to state the period of time that this affects. And then has to have a certification signature by the physician. And this particular tax court case was a husband and wife. And this does not apply if at any time somebody is legally appointed to address your financial affairs. And in this case of a husband and wife, the wife claimed a tolling of this statute, and they were going back and trying to get some past penalties back. But the husband legally can make decisions financially for the wife. And so regardless of what state the wife was in, the husband was not financially disabled, and therefore the tax court rejected the appeal, the amendment. So
interesting. So, and I would assume that that would apply to if they have a power of attorney for financial affairs or any of that stuff too, right?
I would think so. If there's
conservatorship,
I was going to say. Yep.
Sure.
Yep. So anyway, interesting court case. You always learn something new. And I don't know if now I'm thinking back over 23 years of practice, have I ever told somebody they couldn't get a refund when maybe they were out of sorts? But I don't think so.
Well, it's got to be not just out of sorts. I mean, you know, we're out of, I'm out of sorts a couple times a day.
That's right.
But, you know, it's really, it seems like it's really, you've got to be either like in a coma or have, you know, being diagnosed with dementia or you know, or alter some sort of cognitive impairment like that, it sounds like. And it sounds, you know, pretty onerous, you know, Kevin, that's a pretty similar thing that you have to do when qualifying for long-term care as well. You have to get a lot of those.
Or Social Security disability.
Right, yeah.
Pretty much the definition is pretty darn close.
Yeah. So if you were to take a disease such as MS, mm-hmm. that may not rise to the level, even though it's certainly long-term, it may not rise to the level of affecting your ability to make your financial decisions. But maybe if you have, you know, a severe form of aggressive cancer and you're mm-hmm. on chemo, mm-hmm. you know, they, you know, we learned from Carl, this thing called chemo brain is what they, yep. you know, call that can really take you out of your right mind for making decisions sometimes. And, you know, maybe something like that would rise to that level. So, yeah.
You know, the thing is, too, Kevin, I think it's kind of interesting. You said we can go back 3 years, mm-hmm. but if they want to come back after us on an audit, they can come back, what, 7 years?
Hypothetically, can't they come back forever? I mean,
it depends exactly right. It depends yeah. on the level of if they suspect fraud or you haven't filed a tax return. There is no statute that's been running, so they can
and
go back.
And for all of us people that pay taxes, there shouldn't be, because we all paid. Right. They should be paying too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to switch gears here and talk a little bit about, back in your guys' bailiwick here, stock market perspective. So the AICPA, we accountants, we just don't mm-hmm. sit on our laurels. The AICPA, American Institute
sure got me fooled.
Certified Public Accountants. Yes, indeed. They publish an index, and this is called the Personal Financial Satisfaction Index.
Oh.
And it's quarterly. And this last quarter was the highest it's ever been. This quarter, it's just about the same. So we're near an all-time high for the Personal Financial Satisfaction Index. And what this is it's a combination, and this is where it gets fun, combination of two indexes, the Personal Financial Pleasure Index and the Personal Financial Pain Index.
Oh.
Yes. Now I've got you interested here. I know. I know. People are tuned in. So the pleasure index, financial pleasure index, I should say, is made up of four parts: real home equity per capita, job openings per capita, a proprietary stock index, a stock market fund index called the PFS 750, and the all-important CPA Outlook Index. And we're going to talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's got to be really important.
It's very important.
It's the AICPA.
Hey, you know, I got
so of course
I
they're going to rely on CPAs.
I will give a compliment to the CPAs because they came out with a great ad called Feed the Pig.
That's right.
And I thought that was a super good deal because everybody needs to save no matter what age you are. And that Feed the Pig was a really good ad. It really was.
Yeah. Yeah. I see that on occasion still pop up.
I hear it on the radio.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So that's the pleasure index. The financial pain index is made up of four factors also: underemployment, loan delinquencies, inflation, and my personal favorite, taxation.
Ooh.
So, I just, so.
I think we're a really good audience.
You know,
will
somebody please call in and help me with these two? This is getting out of hand.
You're dying here real quick.
So. Okay. No, I'm actually interested, but I did think it was funny that we were doing the, we're this live studio audience.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So the four factors for the pleasure index, two were up and two were down. And one of the ones that was down was the all-important CPA Outlook Index. And this is a survey of CPA executives asking them about the year ahead and their perspective on their companies and their economy and the U.S. economy.
Oh.
So we've actually chatted about this one before, Chuck, maybe under your nose without you knowing about it. But the general outlook is maybe from the CPAs and, you know, your CFOs and that type of thing is maybe a little rocky.
That's why you always have to consider your sources.
Well, this is a great source, so I guess it's time to get out of the markets, right?
But who said they were a great source? I mean, historically, what is their hit and miss ratio?
I don't know these things.
Yeah.
This is a sales pitch.
It's called a track record, you know. It's
like, well, don't come in here with your logic and ruin his segment.
Anyway. So, but all said, still a very favorable outlook. Second all-time high, you know, considering all these factors, people are generally financially satisfied.
That's pretty good.
I would think so. What I'd be curious is what did they say in 2018 for 2019? Do you have that, or do you just have what they're saying for 2020?
I could go back and look at the historical.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they said for this year.
Yeah,
true.
Because I thought this year we would have a double-digit return.
Yeah.
And I'm totally in a lot of the financial stuff I read, the real concern is going to be in 2020.
Mm-hmm. Right, next 18 months or so.
Yeah, because of the upcoming election. And so there's going to be probably a lot of volatility.
Mm-hmm.
And volatility can be good and bad. Yeah. If you're a long-term investor, it's good because you get a chance to buy on the dips. If you're a short-term investor, it can be pretty scary.
Yeah.
Right, trying to time it. So what I hear you saying with the AICPA's Personal Financial Satisfaction Index, which it's a mouthful, but I like it. Big parts of it that are really interesting to me is the different factors in there. Yeah, the CPA outlook is interesting, but you know, not that, and I'm not going to knock on CPAs like some people in the room. But you know, you take the outlook with a grain of salt, just like we take outlooks from economists that are on CNBC and Fox Business and these guys that are telling, here's what we see happening. You know, that's what their view is. But the interesting thing for me in that personal financial satisfaction index, it's difficult to say that five times fast.
Exactly.
Is the differences in, you know, so if the CPAs are talking about their businesses, not just the economy, so their outlook for the tax business, but the building of the debts, like you're saying, that, you know, the unpaid debts and the personal home equity, that's a big one. I know a lot of people talk about a big driver for different things is we're taking out more and more debt, you know, as a, you know, just as a country,
mm-hmm.
to be able to build up that, you know, those other factors in there, which are both qualitative but also quantitative too. So that is interesting to me. I like that. It would be good to know where they were, back in maybe fourth quarter 2018, you know, after the market took that dive, and see what their thoughts were.
Yeah, in general, I think the CPAs were saying they thought the stock market would be up 20%, but that's just my guess.
they thought it. Yeah, market closed 7/26. It was up 20%.
Just so we're clear, folks, Kevin just took that right out of the air. This is total BS. But it'd be interesting to know what they did actually. In all honesty, actually did predict for the coming year.
I'll come back with that. Yeah,
I'd like to know. Yeah. Yeah, I think I beat him like a drum.
Okay.
But you know, it is important that people have a clear perspective on what they're looking at as far as investing, and being realistic with realistic expectations. The fact you're saying that the individuals have been satisfied with the returns and the market. I mean, after all, if you look at this thing, we've had almost 11 years of up in the market.
Yeah.
So if somebody is not happy now, that's a big problem.
What's it going to take?
It is.
Well, I know we have to go to our next break, but maybe you guys could, on a more serious note, based on our first conversations earlier, I'm curious to find out, you know, so my serious money, if I'm going to be invested in the stock market, I'm going to use a financial advisor, the highest level, if you will, that will let me in the door. For my maybe monopoly money or maybe investing on the side or self-directed, where does a person go to get solid analysis? You know, you guys could help on that, because my profession is I have to have skepticism, and I look at most news sources as pretty skeptical and don't really trust them. But I'm curious to see what you might recommend for analysis or that type of thing.
We could talk about that. There's a lot of different resources we can definitely cover. This is a really good question, and I'm sure people are wondering. So we are going to take our next break here, but when we come back, Chuck and I will talk about the different resources that we use to analyze the market and analyze trends in the market. And different resources that we've found have been really good for those self-directed folks. If you're looking for the, I don't want to call it the play money or monopoly money, but the money that we're trying to shoot the lights at, we're taking some chances on, might be willing to lose. So don't miss it. Stay tuned for Investing Simplified. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Colson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercolson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercolson.com. 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Colson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, here's Chuck Price and Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. However you're tuning in today, thank you for listening. If you've been with us the entire time, we appreciate you staying tuned. If you're just now tuning in, thank you for making us a part of your day. We are going to talk about some options for looking up for scouting, for lack of a better term. We were just talking football on the break, for scouting your investments and scouting your performance plays, those shoot the lights out plays. But if you have a question about your investments, about your estate planning, about your taxes and different things, if it's something that's been keeping you up at night, it's been keeping someone else up at night. So please pick up the phone, give us a call, 503-417-9595, 503-417-9595. And we'll be happy to answer your question. You can also go on to investingsimplifiedradio.com and ask it there if you'd prefer not to come on the air. You can also give Chuck or I a call, 503-253-3000, if you want to come down, sit down with us. We do offer, just to reiterate, complimentary, no-pressure portfolio reviews. We're happy to sit down with you and go over what you've been doing, tell you our thoughts and how we might make it differently. But it's never a case where we're, you know, selling you a used car before you leave the office. We also do have a couple of books available. People do really like those. You don't have to make an appointment. You don't have to sit down with us to get a book. Information is power, and we do really believe that. So if you come down to our office, please ask to take a book with you. We're happy to send you with one of those. So Chuck, Kevin was asking about different sources and how people, you know, review or look for, if they're trying to be stock pickers or if they're trying to find places in the market. And personally, for me, I really like Morningstar. That's the go-to for me in terms of fund choices. Now, it's not necessarily the one you want to go to for stock picking, but Morningstar is just that they're a disassociated third party. They have no skin in the game, but they're traditionally been viewed as the best for reviewing mutual funds or ETFs, basically any funds. And they have a star rating on there that tells you their star rating. It also tells you their risk category, but it benchmarks it against other funds in their category. So it'll tell you how well they did, this particular money manager did, against other funds that are in there. So if you're looking for an Asia fund, or if you're looking for a metals fund, if you're trying to buy some gold or silver, then they're going to tell you how it's doing against other funds of that ilk. And somebody, you know, we actually heard the call, and Barry has given us a call. So, hello there, Barry. You have a question about a self-directed IRA.
Yeah, well, I'd like to have you explain. First of all, do you guys handle self-directed IRAs?
When you're talking about self-directed IRA, you mean the IRA where you can own property inside of the IRA
or businesses? I was I don't understand. I was told I have some businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was told that you could self-direct your IRA to a business. And I've been looking at it for like a tax shelter because it would be sheltered under the IRA. Can you explain how that works? I mean, that's what I mainly is. First of all, do you people handle those things?
Well, so that's a great question, Barry. We don't handle those, but Kevin's got a really good handle on the taxation for it, and we can explain that part of it. Generally, you have to find a specific – there are companies that that specialize in the self-directed IRA.
Right. No, I know they advertise. I've heard one company advertise on the radio. Yeah.
There's one here in Portland.
Can you explain how they work, though?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'll just say the name IRA Advantage. I've seen them. I have not worked.
Right, that's the one I've heard. Yeah,
I have not worked with them, so I'm not recommending.
I actually have worked with them with a client, mm-hmm. and they've been very good.
Yeah, Barry. Here's the problem, and IRA Advantage or any other company that's going to help you do this needs to critically explain this issue with you. It depends on what you're wanting to do. Sometimes it can work. Other times it's going to be a time bomb for you. And the reason it can be a time bomb is you cannot have self-dealing in an IRA. And when you are, if you structure it properly, and depending on your level of involvement in that business, it may work. However, if you are actively involved in the business, if you take a salary, if you have to take a salary, if it's an S corp, you're just asking for a court case. You're asking for an audit. You're asking for your IRA to be considered completely distributed to you. Yeah. And so this is the stuff that brings great material for our radio show.
Yeah.
When these blow up, but if structured properly, they can work. But you know, maybe a rental, because a rental is right. considered passive and you don't have to take a salary. And if you're not managing it, you're probably not self-dealing.
Right. Because the idea is, you know, Barry, a lot of times the way that people use this self-directed IRA is, like you said, it's tax sheltering for businesses that maybe you own shares in someone else's business that you're getting distributions from, and they don't want to, you want to have the shares owned by the IRA. Or when people want to own rentals, that's a big question we get a lot, is people want to own property because most of their money is in this tax deferred bucket. They don't have a lot of non-qualified money just cash sitting on the sidelines, and they do want to buy property. The issues that I've heard, and Kevin, you can correct me that I'm wrong, if I'm wrong, that I've heard from other CPAs, was when you have the property in there, it becomes an issue of when you hit that 70.5 level, you have to have a valuation on your IRA every year.
That's right.
And so what that means is you're going to have to pay to have that property
appraised.
Yep. Professionally appraised, and get a valuation on it every year once you hit 70.5, because you have to take distribution. So that can be a possible pitfall, but the idea is sound, where you can utilize the money. It just, like Kevin said, that has to be the right situation. It's sort of, it's one of those things where
okay. So I own the businesses, but I don't need to take funds out of one of these businesses. And the idea would be is it would just self grow within its own. But I would be the manager of it, but I wouldn't be taking anything out of it. I don't need to take a salary or anything out of it. That's, you know, but it would grow within itself, and I wouldn't have to pay taxes on it. I mean, it would be sheltered. Would that?
I mean, that's just one. That's just work or not? That's just one factor, is whether you take a salary. The fact that you're actively managing, you know.
Yeah, I would be actively managing. I'm the only one of those. But yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That might, you know, that could be an issue. And then there's attribution rules. You know, if you have kids or family, what they do could be attributed to you for their actions. So you got to really look at it.
I have all the above, kids and family. Yeah. I don't understand. What would that have anything to do with anything?
Well, related party transactions, you know, you can have influence. Say your child is the one managing the company. You can have influence on a related party, and the IRS is going to say what that right. party does is the same as you doing it, because your papa, and you can withhold, you know, the rest of
I'm the only one that's involved in this business.
Okay. Yeah.
Sole proprietor and everything. I mean, I'm the only one. I do everything.
Sure.
Yeah. Another
kind of shelter it for later, the tax.
Right.
Yeah. Another
consideration. Perpetuate within the.
Right. Be in that tax sheltered wrapper. Right.
Yeah. Another consideration is, you know, do you want to force all of your profits and gain to be taxed at ordinary rates in your IRA? You know, you put any property in there, now you're changing capital gains, you know, gain down the road to ordinary income. So,
right.
I mean, there's a lot.
Specifically on Barry's business, if he's got when he sells the business inside the IRA, instead of it being a capital gain, it's now ordinary income.
That's
too.
Right. Yep. Yep. So a lot of considerations to factor in, and the annual fees to run this. You know, it definitely puts employment on the plate for the accountants and the.
so the key is, Barry, I think that we want to make sure you just go into it with knowing all the pitfalls that Kevin mentioned, and if you're going to talk to him, say, hey.
That's why I called you guys.
Perfect. Yeah. No, it's a great question. Yeah.
It's worth looking.
Right, well, thank you very much, and have a good day.
Yeah, it's worth looking into, Barry, but get the advice from the company that's going to do it for you. Get the advice from your attorney, and get the advice from your accountant and probably your financial advisor.
Absolutely.
And put it all together and see what the picture looks like.
Absolutely. We have another call as well, so it looks like Ray has a question on capital gains from selling his house. Hello there, Ray. What's your question?
Hi. Yeah, I was just wondering about capital gains. I've heard that, like, for a married couple, you get $500 off. For the first $500, you don't pay capital gains on. And for a single person, that's $2,500. I've had a house that's my own residence. I've lived in it for 46 years. I bought it in 73. And my wife died in 2000, so she's been gone 19 years. Now, if I sell the house, am I only going to get $250,000, the first $250,000?
In your circumstance, yes. You're back down to the single level, and so it would be a $250,000 exclusion of gain.
Does he get any sort of half step up for her half of the house when she passed away?
That's right. Absolutely, she does.
Yep. So that's a big thing too, Ray. So you only get the $250,000. Is that 1231?
121.
So close.
Yes.
Dyslexia. But so, Ray, yeah, so she passed away. Sorry to hear that she passed away, but the valuation of the house when she passed away, her half of the house gets a step up in basis, so that way that'll increase your cost basis. So it's not just the cost from 1973. That's a factor. So that'll lower the amount of gain, total gain that you have as well.
So I'll get a percentage of what she would have gotten if she would have lived her.
Basically, if see what the house was valued on the day that she died,
okay,
and her half of the basis becomes half of that value, and of course your basis is the original basis.
How do you establish that? I don't know.
Usually, that's why it's important that when somebody passes that you either get appraisals or you get property valuations from a realtor, RMA or CMA.
Okay, I'm just thinking about doing it. So.
Sure.
Okay, thank you very much. I enjoy your program.
Thank you, Ray. Thank you for listening. It's a great question. Yeah, a lot of people don't forget about that step up, and that behooves the question. And you know, it's too late for him to get the appraisals. But when you have someone pass away, it's always important to work through all of that stuff.
So, right.
Yeah, but you know, you'll get to. I think, and Kevin, you can speak to this. I think there's also a certain amount. I mean, the IRS works with you when you have basis issues. As long as you're not trying to pull the wool over their eyes, you're not trying to steal money or cheat on your taxes, they work with you on best guess valuations. If you lay it out, work with your CPA on here's our best estimation of what the basis was and this is what we're selling it for, and that should be able to save you some money on those.
Yeah,
two.
Ray, if you're working with a real estate person, they probably can refer you to an appraiser who's been around a long time. And they can probably get you a pretty darn close valuation of that property back to, you said she passed away in 93?
2000.
Or 2000.
Yeah,
they can come back and give you a price on that house probably right, really close to the value. And like Bo was saying, the IRS, if you go get an appraiser and they give you a dollar, they're not going to fight with you on that. They're just not going to do it because it was, 18, 19 years ago. They're not going to argue with you. If you get it from a certified appraiser, they're going to go right along with
it. Right. As long as you're not trying to steal money, as long as you're not saying, well, yeah, there's no gain in my house, as long as you're working at a reasonable rate, they should.
That's where a certified appraiser is insured for liability. So
that's true. That's
their professional ability is on the line. So that, to me, it's well worth paying the money to have an appraiser do an actual valuation for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You betcha, Ray. Good luck. Thank you for calling. That's a great question. And we're going to take our last break here, but we're going to continue the conversation about about different ways to look up investments and evaluate which investments are the right way to go, different things that Chuck and I have used. But if you have a question like Ray or like Barry, pick up the phone, give us a call. We've got some time left in the show, and we'd love to answer your questions, the questions that have been keeping you up at night. Thank you for listening. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Legal matters are never easy, but they are especially difficult when they involve the most important people and aspects of your life. This is Taylor Cattell, founding partner of KG Law Group. It's important to have an attorney who cares about your unique circumstances and knows how to get the outcome that is best for you. At KG Law Group, we specialize in estate planning and family law, including wills, trusts, powers of attorney, guardianship, and divorce. At KG Law Group, we provide both expertise and compassion as we guide you through the complex legal landscape. We balance knowledge of the law with exemplary client service. Whether you're reacting to a crisis or planning for the future, we are here to help. If you need legal advice, give us a call today and schedule a consultation at 503-878-8948. That's 878-8948. Or visit us online at kglawgroup.com. That's kglawgroup.com, serving Oregon and Southwest Washington. KG Law Group, your family, your legacy.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, here's Chuck Price and Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. If you've been listening to us all day today, thank you for sticking with us. If you are just now tuning in, thank you for tuning in and making us a part of your day. As a reminder, if you'd like to talk to us off air, not on the air, you can call Chuck or I at 503-253-3000. You can also send us an email at Chuck at pfgwm.com or Bo at pfgwm.com. And you can visit our website at, obviously, www.pfgwm.com. We're happy to talk to you in person, talk to you on the phone. We can meet you on the east side or west side of Portland. We have a new west side office we opened a few months ago that's right off the intersection of 217 and 72nd Avenue. So it's much more convenient for those folks that we have that live on the west side of Portland. I know traversing the bridges is no fun, then no fun for anybody. So we're happy to meet you on either side of town. So guys, we were talking a little bit about different ways that we investigate, not to steal your investigator title, but that we investigate investments. And Morningstar is a big one that I use for, like I said, for the mutual funds or the ETFs, the fund research. Standard & Poor's has a really good research arm for stocks as well, if you're looking for specific stock picks. But the thing about it for me is you got to do enough of your own research on the company itself. And I tell folks a lot of times, buy what you know, right? If you're shopping at Whole Foods, well, now Whole Foods is owned by Amazon, so maybe you should be buying some Amazon. But if you're gonna, I make the joke that my wife's single-handedly keeping Target in business, right? And so if that's something that if you utilize those companies, if you're utilizing their services, it's a good idea maybe to buy what because then that company is going to be, you're helping support their profits. Chuck, what do you use specifically to do?
I can tell you one thing that I tell people all the time, and this is really the key thing. If you are the person who can do your own investing, more power to you. There are a lot of opportunities out there to do that. I've been a subscriber to Harry Dent since about 1988. And I'm a lifetime member of the Dent Group. And I get like 12 different newsletters every single month. And trying to go through those is pretty difficult. But but I can tell you that there's a lot of sources out there for people who want to be an individual investor. And here's always been my strategy, and has been this way for 50 years that I've been in the business. I strongly believe that you need to have a strategy for your serious money. And you need to worry about all the other things in between, but take your serious money, that'd be your retirement money, money that you have to get you to wherever you're going to go to, whether you live to 100 or you live to 75. But to have a strategy for that retirement money. Then if you have anything left over, I personally like people that will buy individual stocks. Now, it's a more risk thing, but I believe the long-term result is a better result with long-term on an individual stock if you buy a good stock. And there's tons of resources I use on that. But I can tell you the biggest problem I see is people go out and buy a lot of stock in their retirement account, and they get a lot of big capital gains. And the problem is, like Kevin said earlier, it all becomes ordinary income, which to me, if you're not – and I'm going to go against the grain here because – financial planning says, consider the investment. Don't consider the tax. But when you have a tax, if you're successful in Oregon, you could have a tax bracket in the 35 to 40% bracket. If you don't consider the taxation of your investment and you're just looking at the investment return, then don't cry about your tax bill. To me, I like the other approach. I like to say, let's take into consideration. That's why I like working with a CPA like Kevin. And I'm going to tell you an example.
Rare compliment, Kevin.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you an example here today that a client I ran into this week, because we always like to talk about that. But having somebody who looks at the tax structure and saying, hey, let's take some capital gains off the table here. Let's do some investing. I had a new person come in, actually a radio listener, and I looked at their portfolio, and they've got an excellent portfolio. They've got about $1.6 million invested. About $950,000 of that is money that was inherited from a stock portfolio that their father ran and she inherited. And then the rest is her IRAs and her investments. But in looking at the portfolio, the stockbroker has her a $60,000 margin loan on some money that she needed to take out of her portfolio. And she's sitting there with $250,000 of capital gains. And she's paying 6% on the margin loan. Oof. Is that a deduction, Kevin?
Investment interest is within some specific parameters.
Yeah. But to me, when I'm looking at she, and one of her funds that she has is a well-known mutual fund. I won't say the name of it. Other than that, it's an American fund. But when I went back and looked at the last 8 years she's owned that fund, she's made 2.2% on that fund. She is paying 6% for a $60,000 loan. My first thing is, I said, did your financial advisor or your tax person, does your tax person look at your brokerage statement? Does anybody look at this, what you're paying to have? And I said, to me, it's very simple. Somebody needs to work with you. You need to have another accountant and a financial advisor who's going to look at your portfolio and say, how do we make this thing work for you? It's not just the investments. It's the taxation. And I told her to pick up the phone Monday morning, call her broker, tell him to sell that fund and pay off that stupid loan. And so a lot of people have done a good job investing money, but the problem is they need somebody who's not just trying to sell them a product. They need somebody to say, hey, here's what you need to do for tax-wise. Here's what you need to do for investment-wise. And this particular person has done a great job because they just put total faith in their advisor, and their advisor's done a fairly good job in investments. But they didn't take that extra step with them and say, let's look at the taxation. What are we creating here? And here's a gal who, I won't go into much detail about her health, but she doesn't have the greatest health in the world. And so we don't know. She could live a long time. She could maybe not. But I sit down with her, and I said to her, I said, why are you even working? She's working a really tough, stressful job. And I said, you need to live before you die. You need to retire. And somebody needed to sit down with her and say.
And say that.
Yeah, say that, because she's got kids all over the country. I mean, they live in three different parts of the country. And she could be seeing her grandkids, and she could be living a retired life. And actually, if she used some really good strategies with her portfolio, she could actually make more money retired than she's making right now. And so that's, I think oftentimes people get so hung up in buying the great stock or buying the great investment, but you have to have an over-reliance of a strategy that's working for you for retirement today and tomorrow. And if you don't take consideration of the taxes, you're missing 30 to 40% of the return.
Good word. Good word. Well, hey, I know we're getting to the end of the show. I just wanted to promo a great cause. August 4th, 2019, there's an event called Cycle for a Cause out of St. Joseph's Winery in Canby, Oregon. I'm part of the charity, Apple of His Eye Charity. Go to cycleforacause.org. Sign up a 30-mile bike ride or a 60-mile bike ride that goes out through Silver Falls State Park. Great cause, fun day. Love to see you there.
But more importantly, is there wine tasting?
Maybe.
You don't know?
I don't know.
He's not the organizer of it. I'd say that for those of you out there who may be a little more
rotund
like myself that maybe don't want to ride 30 or 60 miles, I'm sure there are donation opportunities.
Absolutely.
It's a great cause that you can donate to support that. Kevin, how do people get a hold of you if they have questions about their taxes?
Baker-Colson.com or 503-666-5569.
Perfect. And you can get a hold of Chuck and I at 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. Give us a call. Shoot us an email. Come on and stop by. We'd love to hear from you. Love to see you. Thank you for tuning in today. We will talk to you next week. Have a wonderful week, and God bless y'all.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com. and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000. You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.